listen.
Good morning, Graham.
I listen to your conversation together.
Yes.
With tremendous interest.
Good.
And not without a great deal of enthusiasm. I fully appreciate how you must feel at times, and how much you must wish, desire, to receive from us such substance that it will, by its very nature, give you a greater incentive than ever to continue the spreading of this tremendous truth of life eternal and communication between the two worlds, and to receive from us things which by their very nature will not only comfort man and interest him to the extent that he shall have some fuller vision of the reality of the life to come. I do not, of course, have to tell you that we are oftentimes, just as you must feel, can be despondent, that there is so little that we have been able to relay from our side to yours, that by its very nature can give you a better and truer picture of life as we know it. Because, as you well know, it is extremely difficult, even in the most ordinary sense or way, for us to bring down to your communication that will be comprehensible, understandable, and acceptable. Everything, in a sense, must be limited for so many varying reasons. If it were possible for us to communicate with you on our own level of consciousness, in a manner in which we are accustomed, if we could communicate in a more direct form, without the intermediate, artificial means that makes our communication possible. By this I mean through the agency of the power of the medium, who acts, as you well know, as it were, as a go-between. If we were able to communicate with you in a direct form, on the level of mental consciousness, mental experience, and if there were words that could be used that would make comprehensible aspects of our life, which in certain respects, of course, are so totally unlike your own, if we could bring down to you much that is common to us, and you could understand, assuming that we had a method of communication that made it possible, we could then certainly lift you onto a vibration far removed from the material. But as you well know, whatever we wish to say, whatever we wish to convey, must be reproduced by us artificially in word, which though it may picturize a certain level of our consciousness and life and activity, by its very nature must bring it down to a mundane and ordinary viewpoint. It distorts, to some extent, the truth. You see, this is it. Though we come to convey truth to you, we can only bring you within a certain range of our experience, so that which you perceive is by its very nature oftentimes distorted to the point where you form your own opinion and conclusion and picturization of something which to us is often far removed from that which you have accepted within yourselves. It is true that certain souls have come and will no doubt continue to come, and they will tell you of their experiences on a certain level which is not so far removed from your own. See, when you ask, as you do, which in a sense is a good question, although it may sometimes become repetitious, as to the findings that an individual may have had on arrival here, though, of course, there may be variance according to the individual's experience, it does not alter the fact that when you are communicating with us, in our attempt to bring down to you our truth and experience, our life and knowledge, that which is common to us, it is easier, and indeed one might almost say it is only possible on this certain level, when we are able to depict scenes or experiences which are in themselves very similar or like unto material life. If you were to ask us certain things regarding the realms of spirit on certain levels, it would be impossible. Your minds, even assuming that we could transmit it to you, would not be able to grasp it. This may sound, I'm suggesting, that there is a limit to that which you can receive. This is not quite true. If, that is, peoples of Earth were able to lift themselves up sufficiently beyond the confines of material thought and material limitation. But with the best will that you may have, with the greatest desire that you may have within yourselves, for high spiritual communication, it still brings us back to certain problems and difficulties that we have to contend with. We have so often discussed this sort of thing, perhaps not always so pointedly, but I just want you to realize that there will be moments when in our communication, you will feel, and you will indeed know, that you have been fortunate enough for a brief moment of earthly time to ascend on a level of awareness that makes possible our giving to you a message of import and consequence, removed from the ordinary and the mundane and material. This great question, and it is the great question, as to what our world is like, is so vast and so varied in its many aspects of life, that though you may touch as you will and have in the past on the fringe, there will be much, obviously, that cannot be understood, even assuming we could transmit it to you. So we must together be content to strive, knowing full well there will be opportunities and times when we can at least do something of real value in this respect. But much of our time, no doubt, will be of frustration. Although it may always be of interest to you and to others who listen to your tapes when a certain soul or souls may come and talk about various aspects of their life on what is a condition not so very far removed from Earth, usually with souls who have not been here very long as time is, but whose experience nevertheless has been of interest sufficiently for you to have some comfort and some happiness and joy and interest from it. But of course it is vitally important that you should realize that this sort of communication, interesting though it is and helpful, is in a sense but the fringe of things. We can only hope that there may be odd moments, times, when we can draw so close and in some measure we can convey something of more import, something of greater quality that will give you some insight and give you a greater indeed incentive to work. But I do feel that in spite of all that I say, that we can remember and realize that we have achieved perhaps a great deal. The mere fact, of course, that people on both sides of life are striving for upliftment, for creating a greater realization of truth in the hearts of men, trying to break down barriers that man has created through centuries of foolishness and ignorance. When we see in your world the condition and state that man has brought into being by so much that is material, because he has lost the path and thinks not of the mental and the spiritual which could rejuvenate him and give him a greater freedom of expression and a greater joy and happiness and peace upon earth, when we realize the potential and the possibility of our work, in a sense perhaps I would almost say it is not so important that you should know too much as you may wish to know it, of what life is like here on the higher planes, which, as I've already said, would be almost impossible to depict or describe, assuming there was some language which you could understand and accept. The fact is that by our contact together, and by the work that you do, you are helping men to search deep within their own hearts and see the foolishness of their ways. And you are here and there influencing people not only to find joy and comfort in the truth of survival, but also that in some measure they may still have opportunity and time to put their own house in order before they depart from your world into this. In other words, that which we come to do, that which we endeavor to do, sometimes not as well by any means as we would wish, nevertheless, it is giving incentive to men to do something about your own world, to make out of the chaos that man has created over centuries of time, to give him the realization that the basis of all life must be spiritual, must be something of real value that will last beyond time itself. When man realizes the fundamental truths of spiritual things and communication between our world and yours, when he sees the main reason and purpose of our coming, not only just to comfort mankind, but that man should be given the incentive to put his house in order, so that the generations yet to come shall be brought into a world of peace and tranquility, that when they will see the world for what it really is, the training ground of the soul, the developing, as it were, of man himself to a higher being, that the earth is the womb, as it were, of life, and that this great world of earth could be a much happier, much more joyous place, in which peace and brotherhood could reign, and men could form, as it were, for themselves the beginning of a greater understanding, where the spiritual world could intermingle with yours on a level which it should, and then, truly, you could be led and guided and uplifted, and you could become as one with us, and then we could impart to you much that is impossible to give now. Your world, if you could see it as we see it, from a distance, it is as if it is a globe in space that is surrounded by a thick, deep, murky, blackened fog. And these are the thoughts of men that have obscured man's vision and wisdom expressing itself, making it more and more difficult for us to pierce, to reach you, because man has been for centuries concerning himself purely and solely on a material level with material things for selfish motives, thinking purely on the lines of physical and material being. And yet there is a divine spark in everyone, and it is as if in the fog and the murk there is the spark that is giving a little illumination which we can perhaps here and there fan into a flaming light which will be like a torch in the darkness of materialism to light the path of men into the greater vision of the Spirit, out of the darkness into the light. We see you as you really are. We know your desires. We know your difficulties. We know your main purpose is to comfort and to instruct, to guide and to uplift. And we come to you and we overcome many problems and difficulties on your behalf. We pierce the gloom around your world and enter for a brief time among you, spreading that light of the Spirit as best we may. We have your faith and your hope and your love, which makes all things possible. We must not despair. We must not lose heart. Neither must we lose faith. When we realize that the power of the Spirit can overcome all things and make all things possible, do not be discouraged. From time to time, we shall be fortunate and blessed, and the light of the Spirit shall shine forth among you. We come with love in brotherhood to serve, to comfort and to uplift. We do as best we may under the prevailing conditions and circumstances. We are not dismayed. We only ask that your faith shall make all things possible between us. We do not despair, neither must you. We shall do everything we can in the coming months to link up with you, bringing various souls on different levels of consciousness, in hoping that in some measure they can help give you a new, perhaps, angle, or a new part of truth, a new aspect of truth, that it may illuminate the minds of those who listen to your recordings and give them the incentive to put their own house in order upon earth. For our task is to straighten out, as it were, many of your problems and make the path a little easier, a little more straight, a little more sure, that men may tread it in the years to come and find their way more clearly, more directly, to the realms of spirit, that they can truly then serve, and we can then more able be to give you that which your heart desires, that which you seek, a more clear picture, a more clear realization of man's purpose and man's realization of spirit. Be of good cheer, my friends. My love and my peace and my blessings be upon you. Farewell. This is Wilberforce. My Wilberforce.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, thank you.